What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Alicia Turner. Alicia is a junior in broadcast journalism. She's a graduate of Leon High School.
Good evening, everyone.
Stacy Richardson hails from Orlando. He's a second-year student in accounting.
Good evening.
Kalina Knox hails from Lithonia, Georgia. She is in cellular biology.
Good evening, everyone.
I'm glad to have you all here. Abortion is one of today's most controversial topics. January 22nd, pro-choicers celebrated the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion nationwide. An entire generation has grown up since the monumental decision. Over the decades, American public opinion has remained remarkably the same. Those who fought to legitimize abortion continue to fight the battle. Anti-abortion activists want to repeal decisions. Abortion is the termination of pregnancy. It's a very controversial topic in most circles. What's your position on abortion? Are you pro-life, pro-choice, and why? I'll start. We'll just start.
Okay.
We're right here.
I am pro-choice. I think that no law or no person should be able to tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her own body based on her own circumstances.
Okay.
I am pro-choice. I believe that women should have their own right to pick and choose what they do with their body and what they bring into this world.
Okay.
I am the evil middle. I am...
Now, what is that?
Well, you ever heard the term... There's a right side, there's a wrong side.
And then there's the true side.
No, and then there's always the middle, but it's always evil.
Oh, is it? No, I haven't heard that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Well, explain what that means.
Well, in reference to my opinion in regards to abortion, mm-hmm. I do believe that there are some circumstances in which it's just absolutely necessary. I also understand that people have circumstances in their lives where they may not be prepared, or there may be a circumstance where the child can actually kill the mother, depending mm-hmm. on her physical health. My only problem with abortion is the fact that since we have become so desensitized, people use abortion as the first and only option, and we disregard that, you know, you're killing a person. And when you get to that point where you disregard that that's a human life, and even though it's small, you can't start off big. We all were small at one point.
Are you pro-life or pro-choice?
I'm in the middle.
I mean, if you gotta choose one of these.
I have to choose. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be pro-life.
Okay,
I'll definitely
okay,
be pro-life.
Because what you're saying is basically pro-life. Okay. You, I mean, you said that you're killing a person, and that's pro-life. You know, that's a big debate in itself as to whether, yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, no, whether or not, you know, it's mm-hmm. a person, and at what point the fetus becomes, you know, a person after conception and all that.
Yeah. I don't know why we get so technical with human beings. When a fly lays a larvae, you don't say, well, it's not alive yet.
It's not a fly yet. No, but... Comparing a fly and a human being.
Well, I'm comparing a larvae to an actual adult fly, one that's fully developed.
But that's like comparing apple and oranges, because we're talking about humans.
Well, now. When you
and
compare...
So we're talking about humans. So we're not going to compare them to flies. Or if we're going to compare them, let's compare them to... as humans, we're talking about... And so that puts it in a whole different realm as opposed to... Flies. I mean, it's like apples and oranges.
Well, the whole, to you know, my knowledge, some individuals are saying that we don't know if we want to count it as a person yet because
when does life begin? Let me throw that out there.
Well, the heartbeat starts, I think, week two.
Yeah, about roughly 14, 15 days.
When does life begin? I mean, are you saying it begins with the heartbeat? And I want to hear from all of you.
Oh, in your opinion. Because, you know, some people say life begins at conception.
Right.
Some people say life, you know, starts when you're out of the womb. Some people say after a certain amount of months. Mm-hmm. I mean, my biggest reason for being pro-choice is because you don't know. You don't know, at, you know, the circumstances are so different for everyone. And I feel like when you're pro-choice, you cover everybody. You cover everybody's options. You cover all the bases. You don't leave anybody out. When you're pro-life, then you have to put in stipulations. You have to put in, you know, different reasons for different things. And who says that there has to be a person, whether government or, you know, some city, like, who says that there... It's their right to come in and say, okay, because this happened to you, I'm going to grant you this option, whereas somebody else who doesn't have maybe the most legit reason, their reason could simply be, I just can't afford it. I, you know, made a bad choice at, you know, wrong time, wrong place, and I just can't do this right now. That could be their, you know, option, and mm-hmm. now here you are saying, oh, no, you have to, you know, you have to go through with it because... You know, we get to determine whether or not you can, you know, do what you need to do, what's best for you. So that's, I feel like pro-choice is the umbrella behind abortion.
What about you, Stacey?
My view is pro-choice. And the reason why is because a lot of women are put into circumstances that are against their will. Like, you know, mm-hmm. people do get pregnant because of rape or... Because of, you know, things unwilling.
If it's a legitimate rape.
Yes. Yes, there you go.
Oh, no.
And also, I believe that abortion is a lack of knowledge. Like, if you protect yourself and, you know, cover all bases, that you won't have to choose that choice before it gets there.
But, and sometimes mistakes are made. I mean, we gotta allow for that, too, you know? Because people could have done... all the necessary precautions, and I mean, sometimes, you know, contraception fails.
Correct.
So where do you sit on that?
I've taken the morning after pill and it worked.
Okay.
So it just comes down to responsibility. My biggest thing with abortion is going to college and just getting to meet so many different females mm-hmm. and becoming close with them, the reasoning for I had an abortion is just, to me, it's just irresponsible sometimes, just depending on the person.
Give us an example. Share with me.
I didn't feel like it. I don't feel like that's a good reason to abort a person, to deny them life. I just didn't feel like it. It wasn't a good time. I had midterms. I just feel like we need to practice a higher level of discretion as individuals. I don't feel like we should not have
I hate not to interrupt you. You're right. I agree. People need to be, practice better, you know, contraception, better choices, better judgment. But when they don't and they find themselves pregnant.
Well, no. I'm after... We've already figured out that we're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that happens for most people, I just kind of feel like once you are, and if you are, you know, in your right mind, you're able-bodied adult and you have the ability to work, then I just kind of feel like we should practice a higher level of discretion when we're deciding to take a life or keep a life.
Okay. Comments.
So,
response.
Yeah. You don't feel like when a person is unable to take care of a child.
I said an able-bodied adult who can't work.
I'm talking about once the child is born, she's not able to take care of the child. Why couldn't she choose to have the abortion before
the child is born? So I don't understand that.
No, before. Right. You're going to get an abortion. That's why. Like, okay, how can I tell you?
He's saying let me see if I can paraphrase what you're saying. That possible, you know, once that child comes here and you're unable to take care of it, right?
Yes.
Then what? I mean, so do you just have this because you feel like you're against abortion and so you made a mistake and you don't have the right to take the life?
What my whole perspective is, and it's just this, and it's just from what I've seen and viewed with different people.
I understand. It's your perspective.
If you can, you know, take care of a child, if you can find a job, if you are able-bodied, if you are, you know, if you have the means, I feel like that's something that you should do. I don't feel like we
but
should get to the
But do you have the right to impose that on somebody else when they
No, I'm not saying that I have the right to impose that. My perspective is, as individuals, we should practice a higher level of discretion before we just decide.
But we aren't. I mean, I agree.
Some people are and some people are not.
But let's just deal with where abortion is right now, okay? Are there circumstances that you believe that abortion is a reasonable alternative?
Most definitely, especially if it's any type of reason where it can cause harm to the child, if the child would be born with circumstances where they would not be able to live a healthy life, if the mother's life is in danger. There was actually someone who was in South America, and whatever the city was there, they didn't allow abortion, and the woman actually died.
Yeah, there was a case like that also in, I think it was over in Ireland, where the woman, I think she had, she died of, I think it was E. coli and septicemia, and they refused to grant her an abortion because they said that it was a Catholic country and that, you know, they were against it. And consequently, she died. So, are there circumstances that, you all are pro?
Pro-choice.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I just, when you have the option. So, under those special circumstances and under those special reasonings, you still have the option to decide. Because some people who are raped, whether abortion is illegal or legal, will still choose to keep that baby.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who are, you know, something terrible as incest or, you know, mm-hmm. rape again or, you know, just bad circumstances in general, they will still choose to say, okay, this is what happened. And, you know, they're like, everything happens for a reason. So I'm going to, you know, carry this pregnancy out, have the baby, you know, and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still covered under the option to abort or to keep the baby.
What do you think?
I read online on statistics about abortions, and it says teenage girls, unmarried women, and poor women are more likely to have abortions. So teenage girls, you said something about Plan B. Maybe they don't know that option of Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they didn't know any other options, and they already had sex, and it was an unfortunate thing, and they got pregnant. So I don't believe they should have to bear that child. They have the right to choose if they want to bring the child. And are not. And poor women, maybe they can't afford a Plan B. Everybody can't afford Plan B. Everybody.
Abortion is more expensive than Plan B.
Sometimes Medicare takes care of abortions.
And some people who are pro-life don't believe in Plan B because that would goes back to whether or not when life starts. Because if you're saying life starts at conception, then Plan B is equally as against
Well,
that's anyone who doesn't have a science background. As an individual who has a degree in molecular cellular biology, I know for sure that within your first 72 hours, which is the time frame in which you're allowed to take Plan B, conception hasn't occurred yet. So that would not be... Some people are just
so
confused.
Those are the circumstances. Under
you have 72 hours to take Plan B.
Under which you feel is okay.
Well, I mean, it won't work after 72 hours.
Right. Okay.
Because the child would have already been, conception would have already occurred.
So it's not 0 to 72, it's just after 72.
After 72, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying the option to take Plan B is 0 to 72
hours.
Mm-hmm.
You got 3 days.
You have 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. In looking at this, what role does the father play in making this decision? Okay, what role do you think the father should play in this decision making?
I believe the father should take a big role in it. Whether he feel like him and the mother can be together, because sometimes they don't feel like they can exist together. Bringing a child into that situation mm-hmm. is not a good idea. Or maybe the father won't be around. She don't think the father's going to be around, so why bring another child into the world that's not going to have a father. So,
okay. What do you think, Alicia?
I think they should be a part of it whether, you know, you choose to not... I mean, whether you choose to bring the baby in this world or not. I do think there should be some sort of regulations in place where the father maybe signs off saying, you know, I agree or I don't agree or, you know, some sort of way to, you know, include them. Because at the end of the day, you want to know that you're making this decision with both parties involved in the situation.
How do you resolve it, though, if you have one saying, I want it, and the other saying, no?
Maybe one opinion weighs more than the other. I mean, because it's so many times that, you know, a father will say, oh, no, you're not going to take away my baby or kill my baby. And, mm-hmm. you know, then they're not around after the baby's here. Mm-hmm. So you really have to kind of, whoever would put this into action would have to really sit down and say, how are we going to cover all our bases with that, without, you know, continuing to bring children into this world who, you know, whose dad said no to the mom, and yet they're long gone, you know, after the 9 months have passed.
What do you think?
I agree with Alicia, definitely. I've witnessed, of course, through life, situations where women had become impregnated purposely in order mm-hmm. to sustain a relationship with someone who may not have necessarily would have been there otherwise. And I've seen young men state, I don't want this child. And I feel like it should be some kind of level of something where both people can be involved, because right now it's whatever the woman wants.
Hold your thoughts and we'll come back and revisit this. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return shortly. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we are looking at the much debated and controversial topic of abortion. My panelists again are Alicia Turner, Stacey Richardson, and Kalina Knox. Before we went on break, we were talking about the role of the father and making the decision as to whether to have an abortion or not. I think I had to interrupt you, Kalina. So were you finished? Did you want to add some comments?
I would say that that was pretty much where I wanted to end with that. In regards to there being some type of standard for an abortion, the other thing that I felt that we're completely not paying attention to at all is the amount of times that a woman has an abortion can affect her ability to have children later. I hate to say it, but I know.
When you say the amount of time, I don't understand.
The amount of times, the amount of incidents.
Oh, okay. The frequency.
Okay. It can affect your ability to carry a child later. So I feel like we should also take that into consideration, even if you don't think that the person that's living in you is alive, that, you know, you may want to take in consideration, okay, well, is this my first abortion or is this my eighth abortion? How will this affect me when I decide that I want to go further in my life and maybe have a life partner, a husband, and to carry a child? So I feel like we're not taking very many things into consideration. A lot of times we're just looking at the present, the right now, and if it's convenient.
Respond, comments. What do you all think about this?
As far as, you know, what someone takes into consideration when they're deciding whether or not to have an abortion, again, to me, that's just intruding on someone's rights. Yes, you know, there's consequences of having multiple abortions, but they're not free. They're not cheap, And, you know, people are continuing to have to come out of their pocket and pay for them. So if they feel like, you know, this is the way out or this is, you know, the solution to their right now problem, this may be a right now problem as far as being pregnant and deciding to have an abortion, but there is a lifelong, you know, commitment that you make if you choose to keep it. So, I mean, the only stipulations I really could see being put on abortion are, you know, involving the father and making him say, okay, you're agreeing that you were aware that she was pregnant, you were aware it was your baby, and you're aware that she's terminating the pregnancy. That's, you know, sign some waiver or, you know, some a consent form, basically, or a form of agreeance.
Of course, now they don't have to have that at all.
Right, now they don't have to have anything. And I just think that, you know, you should give him that chance to say, okay, well, wait a minute. I think that you maybe should carry it and I'll take it. You know, you sign away your rights to me. You know, whatever you're agreeing. And even if you say at that time, okay, no, I want the baby, there needs to be a, you know, some sort of court document that you sign saying at the time of, you know, birth, I'm going to take this baby. She's signing away her rights, you know, so that she's like, okay, well, I'm going to carry this baby to term. Some women will change their mind and say, hey, you know what, I signed this, but now I'm going to, you know, be a part of the baby's life, so.
Comments? Okay. What role does religion play in your position?
I am Christian, and I still believe pro-choice, but many religious people believe that abortion is not godly because I believe a child is a blessing. So if you're killing a child, you're killing a blessing that God gave you. But everybody has their own opinion.
That's right. That's right. Other comments? Where do you sit? What role does religion play?
I am also a Christian. I do believe that there are many Christian things that conflict with the ways of the world. And you have to do what's right for you. Pro-choice does not mean that it's an option that I would choose. And I know that everybody in the world isn't a Christian. Everybody in America isn't a Christian. So when you're choosing to
Is being a Christian important as far as looking at abortion? I mean, because there are other things besides Christianity that recognize and value life.
No, being a Christian isn't everything. Okay. But it depends on the person. Every situation is going to be different. As far as it impacts on your beliefs, you know, helping brothers and, you know, being like Christianity involves so many things and religion in general.
They partake in so
many things as far as helping communities. And if, you know, just America in general were in a better place where you knew that if you did choose to bring this baby into the world, that your neighbor was willing to help you. That's not the case here. There's so many people who are like, oh, no, you brought this baby into the world. You're going to take care of it. And you
it's
just
your responsibility.
Can't. Right, and you just can't. And, you know, there are people who their religion is based on it takes a village to raise a child. And, I mean, this is kind of not related, but I saw an article the other day about some little boys in Africa, and somebody said whoever gets to the tree first can get the basket of fruit. And the kids grabbed hands and all walked to the tree together, and they all shared the fruit. And the guy asked the kids why they did that, and he said, well, I can't be happy if my brothers aren't happy. And, you know, when you take that into play, that's not the mindset of people today. And, you know, when it comes back to abortion, you're like, well, I feel like I'm going to be on my own, and my Christian brothers or my religious family isn't helping me. This is the decision that's best for me. So that's the part I feel like religion plays in it. If you're going to be that way, then you need to have that support.
Kalina.
I don't feel like religion should have a place in regulations just because in this country, everyone doesn't share the same religious values. I myself am a Christian. I practice and believe and try to use the things that I learned within my religion in my life, but that doesn't mean I can say that that's the reason why this law is in place or not in place for other people.
What's your position on euthanasia? And euthanasia is commonly known as mercy killing. I mean, the individual who may have a terminal illness, they know it's terminal, and they decide, let me go, or help me go.
I was reading an article about a month ago where they're twin brothers in some country in Europe, requested euthanasia, and they weren't at a point yet where they physically showed that they were dying, but because they knew that that was something
that was forthcoming.
Well, actually, they weren't even dying. They were already deaf, and they were going to go blind. And instead of living a life of being deaf and blind, they just decided, well, while we can still see now, let's just go ahead and have ourselves euthanized. And I thought it was very interesting, but I did take a step back and try to imagine what it would be like to not be able to hear or see, and the quality of life that you would experience, especially as an elderly person. It's hard enough being elderly, but being completely helpless would be something very difficult. I do believe that there are...
So what's your position on euthanasia?
I believe that if the person is suffering, then I feel like it should be an option.
And how would you define suffering?
Well, if I know that one day I am going to suffer, then I don't feel like it's a good idea to go ahead and request to be euthanized if I'm fine right now. Like if I get a report from a doctor that's saying, well, you have this, mm-hmm. it hasn't metastasized yet, but in about 5 years, you're going to start suffering from it, and then you're going to die in two more. Well, I don't think it's a good idea just because I know that something may possibly kill me one day to be euthanized. But if someone is actively suffering, then...
Okay. Where do you sit on euthanasia, Stacey? I ask only because it's somewhat related. You know what I mean? So that's why I ask. I'm not trying to put y'all on the spot or anything.
99% of things in the world is poor choice. Everybody has a choice. Everybody has an opinion. Nobody thinks the same as well. We all are different. So most situations are pro-choice. You pick and choose what you choose to do it yourself. Either it's a right choice or a bad choice. You have to live with it or die from it.
Okay. Another question. As we talk about abortion, morality is often added. It's often raised as an issue. Is abortion immoral?
Yes. Well, just according to my faith and most faiths that I've read about and encountered, it is. Just because, well, if I decided to be euthanized, then
well,
that
let's
would
go
have been,
back to abortion. Is abortion immoral?
Yes. And I was saying, it's murder on so many levels. You know, no matter how we wrap it up and put a bow on it, and it's her body, she's still alive. And someone else didn't have the opportunity. So in that sense, yes, it's immoral.
Okay.
No.
Go on.
It's immoral to be forced to bring a child or another living being into a situation that you're not able to even do for yourself. And again, there's situations that happen, you know, wrong place, wrong time, you know, same old story. And I just feel like as far as morals are concerned, morally you shouldn't feel right if you can't take care of something. And there's so many kids that die, even in America, from being, you know, famine and just not being able to take care of yourself, food, water, the basics. And as a child coming into this world, you don't want to already have been stripped of that because your mother or father can't provide it for you. So as far as morals, I don't feel like anybody should morally be able to say, yeah, I'm going to force you to have this baby because it's immoral. No.
I agree. I don't believe is immoral, because 49% of pregnancies are unwanted. Never, mm-hmm. Not saying that 49% of unwanted pregnancies end in abortion, but 49% is unwanted. So who knows what they'll do? They'll have give the child up for adoption. Who says that child's going to live a good right. life in that adopted family?
And you raise a good issue, because often children of color yeah. are the last to be adopted.
And they have banned American adoptions in Russia because the people that want to adopt babies mm-hmm. are usually Caucasian Americans. And the babies that are for adoption in America are usually African-American babies. So there is a big gap between saying, oh, well, you can just put the baby up for adoption. You're still not offering that child necessarily a better life, because while you continue doing what you're doing, this child has to go from orphanage to foster homes. And unless you do closed adoptions, cost a lot of money. And, you know, you might give that child up to a nice family, but depending on who you are and your reasons for adopting the child, the family might not want it. And you have to go through this process, and, okay, you get to 7-8 months and you haven't found a family. Now you're really out of options.
That's true. Well, you all have raised some really valid issues. I want to go back to when we talk about opposing abortion and calling it murder. Yet, how do we justify the clinic bombings and the killing of physicians who perform abortions? You know, that's something that's been going on. That's murder, too.
Well, I'm not saying in any way that it's okay to kill anyone. It's not okay, in my opinion, to kill your 2.5-month-old. Is not okay to kill someone who is an MD who's practicing, the nurse that works with them, the physician assistant that's assisting with an abortion. Is not okay to kill anyone, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's just where I stand. I don't feel like we should.
And the reason I say that is so often we have these individuals who are strong, pro-life.
Yeah.
Pro-life. We're pro-life. And they're pro-life, yet they can go and they can bomb a clinic and kill people in the clinic, or they will kill physicians.
Well, those are extremists. You can't really.
But
I mean, they just feel like if they kill a doctor, they're saving, you know, these thousands of babies' lives.
Well, there's always other doctors.
Yeah, there is.
Right.
And I mean, there definitely should be some sort of, you know, protection put in place once, you know. Whether or not, whatever the government chooses to do, those people should, you know, be protected. There shouldn't be any, you know, public websites that bash them or have their families' names and addresses, because you never know what their reason is behind this practice. Some of them may have been through that or been in that place and said, you know what, maybe I can help other people by doing it right. I mean, because at the end of the day, if you can't get it from a doctor, it doesn't mean you won't get it.
Yeah, that's a good
and,
point.
And, you know,
very good point.
Back in the day, people were using hangers and doing, you know, whatever they could.
I mean, because abortions are occurring.
Gross.
They're going to, but it's true.
Yes.
It's true.
And that's the sad part. So you just want to know that people are given the best care and that option is there for them.
Stacey Cummins.
I read on something about, it was a physician, and he was supposedly had an abortion clinic, but every woman that came in, he would give them an excuse not to give an abortion because he was pro-life. So he would tell them, like, oh, it's too late, and it's really not too late. Or he'll tell them that something wrong with her, if she'll have an abortion, that something will happen to her. So I don't believe nobody deserves to die or mm-hmm. nobody should be killed, but.
Okay. Comment. You would look like you had something you wanted to say.
No, when Alicia started
really
talking about
her.
The hanger, I got lightheaded.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Just shadowing physicians and just being in hospitals, and that's just absolutely just deplorable to know that women would become so desperate to put their bodies
the
in a position where they could
but
possibly
that's reality.
Die.
I mean, she's not exaggerating.
Well, I know it's a truth, but
it's a reality. Hold your thoughts for a second. You tuned in to 411 Teen, and we're going to take a break. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we are exploring abortion at this hour. Are you concerned that Roe versus Wade will be overturned at all? I mean, because that was something that has come up in numerous, you know, debates where Roe versus Wade made abortion legal. I mean, do you see that as a, you know, an issue at all?
I think if it was overturned, it would be an issue. You know, America's just come so far as far as, not come so far. They're making baby steps towards making it the true land of the free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you just think about some of the laws and things that were put in place to just better the white man or better, you know, people who were in powerful positions and leave behind, you know, the poor, it just kind of makes you sick to your stomach. So to overturn something like that makes me think, okay, well, what else would you be willing to overturn as time goes on? You know, it's like you're making baby steps towards legalizing gay marriage, but yet you would go back, you know, five steps back and overturn something so powerful as, you know, the right to be able to choose whether or not you should, you know, be able to get an abortion.
I mean, Roe versus Wade is 40 years old, and it seems like we're still revisiting. Yeah.
The constant
I mean, fight. Do you all have that? I mean, this went into law 40 years ago, and here we are still exploring it. I mean, and during the whole election cycle, you know, we had different funding being recommended. Planned Parenthood was losing funding. I mean, does it seem like we're going backwards?
Yes.
Or, I mean, I'm just wondering, does it seem like we're, like you said, we're making baby steps. Are we actually regressing?
Maybe those steps are going backwards because it just, I mean, to try to overturn something like that is just, you know, mind-boggling because, of course, you have bigger issues. Of course, there are so many other things where, I mean, even the fact that smokers can get treatment if they get lung cancer. I mean, there's just so many things out there where people have the option to do those other things that have such detrimental effects on their own health, on their own pockets, money, you know, medical bills, but yet a woman can't decide whether or not it's okay for her to have an abortion based on her own experience and circumstances. Yes, those are steps, major steps backwards.
What do you think, Stace?
I don't believe that it will be turned nationally, but I believe that will give, like, states the power to choose each in each state. And also that, what I was going to say.
Well, we'll come back to you. Yeah. Think about it. Hold your thoughts. And we'll come back. Yeah.
I don't think that it will be overturned. You know, we're all pretty fresh in this room. No one's close to 30 for the most part. So I'm not sure where we are as far as taking steps I just got here. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think it would, it's something that would be overturned just because of the ratio of women to men in the country right now. And most of the people that are for abortion seem to be women because it...
Women are a little bit more...
More affected, of course. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's something that would be overturned. But if it was overturned, that would have to be through a vote. And if it was done through a vote, then that majority just rules. That's just the way the country goes.
What's your position on parental notification?
As far as under 18?
Under 18.
Because, what is it, under 16 right now that you have to say
I think
something?
It's under 18.
Under 18? Mm-hmm. I believe that parents also should have to sign and even maybe go so far as to have both sets of parents, the father's parents and the mother's parents. I guess you have to take into account the people that are coming to get these abortions. Do they have, you know, parents that are actively involved in their lives to even be aware of what's going on, to know that their child's even sexually active to be mm-hmm. considering an abortion? So I think it's an important way to let parents know, okay, hey, you know, we're trying to make sure that you stay involved in your kids' lives, because when they come to us, we're coming to you. And we don't want to come to you when you're like, well, I didn't even know, you know, my child was doing this. So maybe knowing that, parents knowing that they're going to be involved in all steps of it, they would be able to stay on top of their kids to make sure that it's not even something that comes up in their household.
In this situation, I'm on the fence because okay. What if the teenage child don't want their parents to know, and what measures would they go to not let their parents know that they're mm-hmm. pregnant and they're getting an abortion? So maybe they do use that hanger you was talking about, and they kill themselves because they didn't want their parents to know. So I think it's their choices on their own.
Okay. How do you feel?
I'm in favor of plastic hangers. No, I definitely feel like it's of enormous importance. My best friend, mother gave her up after she was born, and her grandmother actually asked that she kept her and went through the pregnancy, and I have a best friend, and she's a great person. And sometimes as teenagers, being pregnant, that's monumental. That's the end of your world. And you may not be able to even see yourself through the day tomorrow, mm-hmm. let alone a 9-month pregnancy. But if with just depending on the parent and what their mindset is and their financial capabilities, it may actually provide more options for that individual. I know at the age of 17, I would not have wanted to go to my parents about a pregnancy, because I know that they would be disappointed in me because of their expectations. But if it's something that, if there was a regulation put in place and I knew that I would have to talk to them about that, that may open up a dialogue between us. And we may come to the conclusion that you need to have this abortion because we don't have the funds to take care of another life. Or we'll have the baby and you go to college and we'll take care of your child, which I know several women that I went to school with who had kids away at home that mm-hmm. are happy, living, breathing individuals that are well taken care of.
And, I mean, one of the biggest reasons I would say that there should be something in place for the parents to know what's going on is because 18 and under, you are still their child. And, you know, if you're going to make a major decision like that, I am pro-choice, but that's for adults. Adult choices, adult decisions where you are able to say, yes, I can take care of this baby, or no, I can't, because your brain is more developed. And like Kalina said, at 17, you know, you're thinking about your outfit for tomorrow. You're thinking about high school, graduation. You know, your mind isn't, you know, able to wrap it around saying, okay, a baby, you know, I'm a baby. So as far as the parents being involved, maybe they don't have to sign anything. Maybe it's just, you know, a protocol where they say, well, we want your parents to come in and just be informed and know that this is the decision that you've made. Even if, you know, it doesn't have to be a signature, just them coming in and just being aware.
Did you have a comment?
No.
Oh, okay. what do you think parents should know? Don't know.
I think it's up to the teenage child.
I knew you may have had something you wanted to add. I didn't. Okay. When we look at abortion, some people recognize the fetuses as crime victims. Do you feel that that's a bit extreme?
They're not alive as far as, well, they're alive because they're sapping the nutrients from the mother's body and they're within a parasitic environment. So they're alive. However, they don't have citizenship. So who do you charge and who's the charge against? So.
Okay. So you, what I hear you saying is they don't have citizenship.
They're not a citizen of anything. So no country can say, well, you have committed a crime against a social security number that hasn't even been created.
Okay.
I think it's extreme to say you're committing a crime against a fetus. Of course, some people, it depends on your own ideas behind why you agree or disagree with abortion as far as when life is started, you know, when the heartbeat, when you are officially a human being. Because some people, like, I don't know what show I was watching the other day, technology in the courtrooms haven't caught up together. So the court is not necessarily going to recognize that baby as a life until it is out and has cried its first cry and blinked, you know? Oh. So as far as, committing a crime against a fetus, I don't think I would call it that.
What role does being self-sufficient play? I mean, for example, if you have this embryo or this fetus and it cannot live on its own, okay? One of the issues has been if it can live independently on its own.
Is like the abortion after 6 months, mm-hmm. you can't.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Like Stacey said earlier about mm-hmm. being on the fence, that's kind of where I am as far as abortion because, yes, after 6 months, I mean, first off, you're showing. I mean, this is a big belly. You would have like at least a 5-pound baby at 6 months, depending on the healthiness you know, so it's like.
But whether you're showing or not.
No, whether you're showing, I mean, just the idea that now if you were to deliver at 6 months, that would be, you mm-hmm. know, a baby. So after, there shouldn't be a limitation on at what point you can get an abortion.
And there are. I mean, right. Usually the first trimester, you know, there's not a big deal, but you get into the second trimester.
Because after that, when you mm-hmm. can sustain life on your own, then yes. It is considered something other than just you deciding late, oh, wait, you know, this isn't what I really want to do.
I agree. I believe that 6 months is too late. And mm-hmm. at that point, you're putting a risk on yourself and the child. And that's two people that's going to die maybe if you wait that late.
Mm-hmm. And you still have to have the baby if you're after 6 months. You have to physically deliver it, whereas, you know. There are different steps. I'm sorry. There are different steps under that. No. Yeah.
Well, last I checked, and this is just the last I checked, I may be a little dated. When an abortion at that point, the procedure is you have the baby.
Yeah.
Well, after you have the baby is you scramble the child's brains or you break its neck. So...
I think they put something in you and then you deliver a stillborn.
Yeah, stillborn.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that's why there was a really big controversy because...
Well, I think the basis of the controversy is that this fetus can live
on its own.
Well, some 9-month-old children can't live on their own.
Well...
I mean... scientifically speaking, at 6 months,
if,
you should be
If you're
going
to come here and they have malformations, we're not talking about that.
Not malformations, but depending on the child.
If a 9-month-old child cannot live on his own, something's wrong.
Well,
okay, so I mean that, you know, that's not
But it may not be major.
Different.
It may not be something where.
If it's not major, then they're going to be able to live on their own.
Not immediately, not necessarily, just depending on how minor it is and how long you need to stay in the hospital, an extra month or a couple weeks. But to say that just on the basis that, hey, this one can live on its own, this one can not.
No, but I think you're digressing, okay? And some of it, the information is inaccurate, okay? I mean, just to get this real clear, how do you feel at what point is abortion not acceptable?
After 3 months. I think most people are saying that it's human once it starts looking human. So after that point, you're starting to, it resembles
when
a human
being. When
does
it start looking human?
When it develops, like, the eyes. And
I mean, because it still looks, it doesn't look human.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, see, and I guess that's why I'm asking you, because these are just so, I mean, how do you determine what is looking human? Okay.
Well, having a tail, not having a tail, having webbed fingers, not having webbed fingers, those characteristics are what a lot of scientists are characterizing a non-human-looking child versus a human-looking child. When you're developing, initially, we resemble a tadpole.
So, yes, I know.
So that's very not human-looking, and that's why some people are saying that it's not a human at that point. But
even at 4 months, I mean,
you still not. I mean, but that's why, like I said, you know, once it's past your pro-choice, there should be some sort of, you know, they should revamp it. You don't have to say, no, you just can't have an abortion. There should be stipulations in place as far as, you know, getting the father involved and making sure you're not carrying this baby to 7 months and saying, okay, wait, I really can't do this. I mean, after, you know, once you go in, you shouldn't be really past your first trimester. If you are, you know, the procedures just
it's
get different.
It's a whole different process.
But, yeah. And
a whole different process. Yeah. And most abortion laws, though, will stipulate the trimesters within which it can occur. Okay. So that makes it, you're right. How far along you are is it very important. You look like you wanted to say something.
She's talking about the father and being involved in the abortion. Who's to say that the lady can't lie and say she don't know the father, or she never know who the father was? Like, it's going to be hard to regulate that when you don't know a person's life or what they've been through or what they actually been, what they was doing or anything like that. So I don't know how you can regulate that.
Okay. Well, it looks like we are out of time. I just want to say thank you to all of you for sharing your opinions. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org.